And we're going to have our Bible reading for this morning, and Julie is going to read for us. Thank you.
This morning's reading is from Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea, for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how orderly you are, and how firm your faith in Christ is. Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen indeed. Pastor, we have the first slide, James. Thank you. Value. How do we work out what is valuable to us? How do we know what is valuable? Well, I think we do this equation many, many times, subconsciously in our head. Okay? What you get divided by what you give. Does that make sense? Also not. Let me try and explain. If you go to, say you go to Costa's, and you're going to buy a coffee, okay? And the coffee is £5. Is that a lot of money? Okay. Well, let's just stick with £5. It's £5 for a coffee. So you're going to think, is what I'm getting worth what I'm going to give? Yeah. And if you think it is, then you will pay £5. We might call it value for money, you know. But if what we give is worth, if what we get is worth what we give, we will give it. We will trade our £5 for a coffee if we think the coffee is worth the £5. Okay, let me ask you a question. What is your most valuable possession?
My home.
Your home, yeah. I guess for most people, it would either be your house or your car. Do we have the next? Sorry?
My dog.
Your dog, yeah. It would be your dog. James, can we have the next slide? Okay, so here we have two cars. On the top, we have a BMW Series 7, worth £120,000. On the bottom, we have a Skoda Fabia. I think it came in at, was it £7,000? So let's imagine you own the Skoda Fabia. And the person who owns the BMW comes and says, would you like to trade cars? Would you like to swap? Would you swap your Skoda for the BMW?
No.
Come on. You can sell the BMW and get a dozen Skodas. You've been very naughty this morning. we will trade something if what we're getting is at least of equal value or more. And it's not only with finance. We do it with all sorts of things. Think about something you might have that's been handed down to you that will have an emotional value. Now, what would you trade that for? I don't know what it might be. It might be a letter from your great-great-grandparent or something, or some memento from the war, or whatever it might be. It's been handed down to you, or it's been handed down to someone else, and eventually it's come to you. What value would you put on that? You can't value something like that. Let's take it to another level. Think about the person who's closest to you. Could be your brother, your sister, your best friend, your spouse. What would you trade them for? I know it's a silly question, and that's where the equation breaks down, because you're almost going to infinity, aren't you? There's nothing, you know, I would not trade my wife for anything, or my children for anything. And that is Paul's argument in the passage that we read. So let's put it back up, or at least let's have the next. Okay, so let's just look at this together. He says, I want you to know how hard I am, how hard I am contending for you, and for those at Laodicea. Laodicea was just the neighbouring town about 12 miles away. And for all those I have not met, who have not met me personally. So this is Paul's way of saying, I'm praying for you. So what is he praying? What does he want for this church? Well, the first thing he says, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart. Encouraged in heart. Okay, so perhaps we have the next slide. So we can put encouraged in heart on what Paul wants them to get. Okay? This is what I want you to get. I want you to be encouraged in heart. So let's just think about what that might mean. The word encouraged comes from two Greek words, and it simply means coming alongside someone to help. So maybe if you're running a race, and you're really struggling towards the end, and someone comes alongside you and offers words of encouragement. Come on, keep going, you can do it. We're nearly there. You know, that's encouragement. Or maybe you're struggling with your homework, and you might go to your mum or your dad and say, can you help me with this? That's an encourager. Now, we do it in lots and lots of ways, don't we? We encourage people. Just by what we say, by coming alongside someone else. And Paul says, I want you to encourage each other in heart. Now, the Bible uses the word heart a lot. And when it uses the word heart, it means the whole person, your thoughts, your emotions, your feelings, your desires, your choices, your decisions, everything about you, that's your heart. So Paul is praying that they will have a healthy heart, that they will make healthy decisions, healthy choices, have healthy attitudes, have healthy emotions and feelings. They will have healthy thoughts. Now, you cannot put a price on that, can you? So what would you pay for that? £10? If I can just have that. We cannot put a price on that. God is doing that in all of our lives. creating a healthy wholeness within us. And that's what Paul is praying. I want you to experience that. I want you to, because that's what God's got for you. So we can put that there. If we have the next slide. Hopefully you're following me through on this. So he says, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love. Well, again, you can never put a price on what that looks like or what that would be like. United in love. So again, we can add it to this, what God wants to give us. United in love. I think one translation had knit together in love. It's quite nice, really, isn't it? Knitted together. Only love can really knit people together. And again, it's not sentimental love or romantic love. It's self-sacrificial love. Love that isn't so interested about what I get, but how can I benefit someone else? How can I meet their needs? How can I go the extra mile? And that's the kind of love that unites a people. That's what Paul wants for the church at Colossae. I want you to experience this self-sacrificial love that will unite you together, will glue you together. And that is what God is doing with us. To be part of a church family, a community, where it's not all about me, it's not about what I want, what my needs are. But it's actually looking beyond ourselves in love towards one another. And that's what unites us together. We're bonded together in that love. Again, we cannot put a price tag on that, can we? And so many people are looking for that. A kind of a loving, united community. And God has brought us into that, and God is continually developing that within us. So again, we can put that on the what you get column, if you like. Now let's build it up a bit more. There's a lot of words Paul uses here, but we'll simplify it. So my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So yeah, Paul's using a lot of words here. Let's simplify it in the next slide. He wants them to really know Jesus. I think that's the bottom line of what he's saying. And I suppose he uses so many words because he doesn't just want them to know about Jesus in their head. He doesn't want them just to know about Jesus. What he longs for is that they might experience Jesus as a living reality in their lives every day. You know, as one who walks with us, as the one who inspires us, who empowers us, who is always there, comforting us, giving us peace. What price would you give for that? You know, what would you trade that for? So what Paul is saying, and he talks about this is all the treasures of wisdom of Jesus. He said, treasure this, hold, you know, value this above all else. Why? If we go back to the passage, if we flip back to that one. So he goes on in verse 4, which we're not really looking at, but he says, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. You know, so, you know, I tell you this so you won't trade this for something else. Because there'll be people who say, well, actually, this is more, it's more important you do this. Or this will bring you happiness. Or this will bring you fulfillment. And Paul is saying, no, don't trade what you have. Treasure it. Treasure what it is to be united in love. Treasure what it is to be encouraged in heart. You know, treasure above all what it is to have a relationship with Jesus. No, don't throw it away. Don't trade it for anything else. No matter how enticing or, you know, how appealing it might be. But rather value it, treasure it. Yeah. So we cannot put any price on those things, can we? It's an infinite what we receive from God, and what God wants for us. And, you know, there are many philosophies, many ways in which we can kind of just think, yeah, well, maybe I'll spend more time doing this or whatever it is. But Paul was saying, no, treasure these things. Treasure the community that you're part of. You know, treasure what God is doing in your life, making you let more selfless. And treasure your relationship with Jesus. I mean, it's one of the things we committed to, wasn't it? To grow that relationship. Okay, I'm going to say these words together, a sending out prayer. Father,
as you have loved us, so may we love you. Jesus, as you have called us, help us to follow.